they got the computer burned up.
Sarva Bhuteshu Avasthitam.
तमेवात्मनि आत्मस्थम् सर्वभूतेषु अवस्थितम् पूजयत्वं गृणन्तश्च ध्यायन्तश्च पृथिवीम्
Certainly, Atmana, Supreme Soul, Atmastam, in your hearts, Sarva, all, Bhuteshu, every living being, Avastitam, situated in Bhujayatam, worship him, Pirantaha,
always chanting,
and Jayantascha,
always meditating upon
Asakrit, continuously, Harim,
the Supreme Personality of
Godhead. Translation, therefore, O sons of the King, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari is situated in everyone's heart. He is also within your hearts. Therefore, chant the glories of the Lord and always meditate upon him continuously. Therefore, the word Asakrit is significant for his man, not just for a few minutes, but continuously. That is the instruction given by Lord Chaitanya in his Sushastika Kirtaniya Sadavari, the holy name of the Lord should be chanted 24 hours daily. Therefore, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we profess to devotees to chant at least 60 rounds from the beat daily. Actually, one has to chant 24 hours daily, just like Haridas Thakur Haridas, who was chanting Hare Krishna mantra 300,000 times daily. Indeed, he had no other business. Some of the Goswamis, like Raghunath Das Goswami, were also chanting very rigidly and also offering obeisances very rigidly. As stated in Srinivasacharya's prayer to the six Goswami, Sankhya Purva Kanana Bhavana Devi Kalava Sankirto. In the word Sankhya Purvaka means maintaining a numerical strength. Not only was Raghunath Das Goswami chanting the holy name of the Lord, he was also offering obeisances in the same prolific numbers. Because the princes were ready to enter into some severe austerity in order to worship the Lord, Lord Shiva advised him to constantly chant of and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is significant that Lord Shiva personally offered his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as he was taught by his father Lord Brahma. Similarly, he was also preaching to the princes according to the Parampara system. One not only should practice the instructions received from the spiritual master, but should also distribute this knowledge to one's disciples. The words Atmanam Atmastam Sarvabhuteshu Avasitam are also significant. The Personality of God is the origin of all living entities. Because living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord, he is the father of all of them. One can search out the Supreme Lord very easily within one's heart, for he is situated in everyone and every living entity's heart. In this verse, the process of worshipping the Lord is considered to be very easy and complete, for anyone can sit down anywhere at any condition of life and simply chant the holy names of the Lord. By chanting and hearing, one automatically engages in meditation. Translation, therefore, O sons of the King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari is situated in everyone's heart. He is also within your hearts. Therefore, chant the glories of the Lord now as you meditate upon him continuously. So, here Shiva is giving his final instructions after his prayers. And in the previous verse, he advised them to always offer this prayer to the Supreme Lord. Even while they were doing their activities of ruling over the world as Kshatriyas. So here again, he tells them simply to meditate upon the Lord and worship the Lord at all times, continuously, and at the same time describing the position of the Lord, that is, he's situated within all jivas in the material world. So, in other words, it is not such a difficult process because the Lord is not far away. We generally consider the Lord to be very distant, but actually the Lord is within. So, if we meditate upon the Supreme Lord and it's within us, it is not such a difficult thing. Because the Lord is right next to us. And we should worship the Lord. So we can worship the Lord again because he's very, very close. So there are many ways of carrying out this, the worship and the meditation. Meditation, of course, refers to using the mind. And worship means, it's a general term which can include mind and meditation, but it generally refers to using the body and the senses. Engage those in offering things to the Supreme Lord. One can do that in various ways. So, of course, the famous way of worship, of course, is archana, where we actually have a deity form of the Lord and we carry out that worship. But, as we know, in different ages, there are different ways of worshiping the Lord. So the prominent way of worshiping the Lord is through meditation in Satya Yuga, and through sacrifices in Treta Yuga, and through temple worship or archana in Dwarpa Yuga, and through Sankirtan in Kali Yuga. So worship itself can take many forms, not just the archana form. So all the way from meditation down to Sankirtan, it's all considered worship of some sort. Nevertheless, we make some distinctions here where he says meditate and do worship. So use the mind and use the senses and the body to engage yourself in the Supreme Lord. Now this story, of course, takes place in the beginning of the day of Brahma in Swayambhu Manvantara sometime. It doesn't say specifically what yuga is, but nevertheless they were highly qualified because they were willing to do austerities for thousands of years, etc. So it wasn't a Kali Yuga, obviously. They could do great austerities and fix their minds. So we can assume that must have been Satya Yuga or something like that, where they were very used to meditating. So therefore, Shiva gives us advice to meditate and worship the Lord. Now, of course, meditation is also a general word. Can refer to different types of meditation. We have meditation performed by the yogis. This often ends up as impersonal meditation. But meditation is also mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion as one of the angas of bhakti. There it is meditation on the form of the Lord, the qualities and activities of the Lord. So it is worship of the Supreme Lord in person. Of course, that is also there in the yoga system. So in the second canto of Bhagavatam, there it describes two types of meditation for yogis. One is to meditate on the Vishwarupa of the Lord, that is the lesser of the two. The other is to meditate on Paramatma. So that is the, we can say, the authorized form of meditation in the Astanga Yoga process, to meditate on the Paramatma, which is a personal form of the Lord. But we will find that often there are different types of meditation that end up very impersonal. And the whole goal is to stop all the senses and the mind and everything from acting. And then they enter a state of complete suspension of everything and only Atma exists. So it's more or less impersonal. Nirvikalpa Samadhi, it's called. So that is not the type of meditation which is meant here. Shiva has already given us prayers, which is the glorification of the Lord. So therefore, here jhana means to meditate upon the Lord with all of his wonderful qualities, which were previously described. So then it is also a form of bhakti, one of the elements of bhakti. And of course the worship itself is also part of bhakti. We have the deity worship as part of one of the angas of devotional service. So in this way, Shiva is recommending that they should be constantly engaged in all of this, not just periodically, constantly do this. In the previous verse, he says, actually do your activities, your duties, and you also worship the Lord. Here he's also saying you constantly worship the Lord. So that is a little difficult if one is doing one's regular duties in the material world. However, there is one prescription, of course, and that is that chanting the name of the Lord can be done at all times and all places. Whereas the other processes are somewhat restricted. So you cannot worship the deity at all times and all places when you're doing everything. You cannot meditate at all times and places also. But chanting the name of the Lord is much more flexible. It can be done at any time, any place, pure or impure or whatever. So in that sense, though one does one's duties in the material world, still one can carry out the process of chanting the Lord's name. So that's a flexible process. So because Shiva here is giving directions to leaders of the world, he is giving very particular instructions on the conclusion of Bhagavatam. The Manus and their descendants are those who institute the regular Dharma plus bhakti in the material world for different jivas according to qualifications. So, therefore, she was advising the Prachetas in the proper way. They can do their Dharma, whatever, but at the same time they should also perform bhakti to the Supreme Lord. Of course, we find here that the Lord is described as being situated in everybody's heart. So we can assume, okay, that means Paramatma. Worship the Lord in the heart, so as a yogi. But, of course, the conclusion of Bhagavatam is that Paramatma is a secondary feature of the Lord and Bhagavan is the primary feature of the Lord. So higher than this Paramatma feature is actually the Bhagavan form. So the devotees, of course, also have Paramatma inside, but instead of meditating on worshipping Paramatma, they worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Krishna, Rama, etc., the Bhagavan forms, rather than the Paramatma forms. For the devotee, of course, though Paramatma is also there and pervading all creatures, the devotees instead think of Bhagavan pervading everything. And that is the vision of the Uttamadhikari, where he sees the Supreme Lord not as Paramatma everywhere, but as Bhagavan. So everything reminds him of service to the Supreme Lord, everything he sees in this material world. So the meditation of the devotee is actually different from that of the yogis, because yogis ultimately will meditate on a Paramatma form without service, whereas the devotees meditate on the form of the Lord with service. So there's a distinction there also, even though here it says meditate on the Lord in the heart, etc. So Krishna also is in the heart for the devotee. Krishna says, I am in my devotees are in me. So Krishna is always thinking of his devotees, and the devotees are always thinking of the Lord. So the devotees have the Lord within them at all times. So for the devotees, when they meditate, the Lord is also within them, but in the form of Bhagavan, not as Paramatma.
No, the yogi can meditate on the super soul. The yogi meditate on the super soul, Paramatma, but he cannot go back to God in unless he goes to God.
Yeah. They meditate on Paramatma, and usually they desire to merge into Paramatma or Brahman as a result of that. In other words, even the Jnani may worship the Lord, but all his desire from the Lord is to let me merge in Brahman. So the goal is different, even though they may meditate on Paramatma. Of course, by the mercy of devotees, they may develop attraction for the Lord through association with Paramatma and advance to that, and then become devotees. Or they may have a mix yoga plus bhakti, yoga Mr. Bhakti. This is actually described in the beginning of the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where it talks about those who meditate on the Param Purusha and fix their concentration between the eyebrows, etc. So that is actually yoga Mr. Bhakti. So they do better than just the yogis, because they're predominantly bhakti but influenced by yoga. So they can also go to the Supreme Lord, but their relationship is also somewhat mixed, maybe a low form of dasya, shanta dasya mixture or something like that, as a result of that mixture.
Now, we speak of Paramatma realization. Yogi actually has
an
eye-to-eye
relationship with Paramatma.
What is it?
Yeah, it said in Bhagavatam that some yogis, they actually meet the Lord, and then unfortunately, because they want liberation, they don't become attracted to him. They just take the liberation that he grants, and that's it. So they don't develop a real attraction for him.
Inside.
Yeah. Well, inside, outside doesn't really matter, because the Lord's everywhere. Well, we can say it's a form of the Lord, but there's no service there as such. The devotees don't just meditate on that form of the Lord, but the form of the Lord is there because we want to serve the Lord and please the Lord. It's not there for the form of the yogis. They want liberation. Well, yeah, if you use the chanting process just to simply merge in Brahman, you can do that also. Simply you want to be peaceful by chanting. So by chanting, you can also get liberation. You can get Brahman liberation or karma, anything. It will give you everything. Yeah, and he's chanting with the idea of Krishna. Bhagavan.
So the Buddhists can chant for 24 hours if they can.
They can chant 24 hours if they do it properly for Krishna, not for Brahman or anything else.
It's very difficult for one to come out of the bodily consciousness, but then how is it possible to do that service continuously?
What's that?
It's very difficult for one to come out of the bodily consciousness. How is it possible to do continuous service?
Continuous?
Service to the Lord.
Well, that with advancement. So if one gets to prema, then one is not concerned with the body. Then one has continuous service. Before okay. That is difficult.
But any time there is a demand of the body, like on the those
they don't mind
involved in prema, they don't get it.
They don't pay attention to it.
No, they are chanting Hare Krishna. They are begging, chanting Hare Krishna, they are begging for the service to Radha and Krishna.
Yeah.
Where's the Krishna?
Well, some people, ignorant people, may use chanting Hare Krishna to become absorbed in Brahman. Also, one can do that. That, for instance, Mayavadis may chant Hare Krishna or the names of the Lord, the Vishnu Sahasranam, but their idea is not to serve the Lord, but just to merge into the Brahman.
Maharaj
Shiva
is describing Vishnu form.
Yeah.
No, but he's not.
No, it's not the highest. It's not the highest, obviously. Even Brahma, in the Bhagavatam, gives general descriptions of the Lord. It doesn't get too much into Krishna at all. And in the third canto, he gives a darshan of Vishnu, not, and second canto also Vishnu, not Krishna. Of course, in Brahma Samhita, there he has a vision of Krishna. But usually, he's more into Vishnu forms.
How does one come to the stage of Kithniya's last? How does one come to the stage of
Kithniya's
last? Oh, constant chanting. Well, of course one can do it as a sadhana by gradual development. It only becomes natural in bhava and prema. But one can try for that continuous chanting in the lower states also, but it only becomes natural in bhava and prema, where one has natural attraction. One can attempt to do longer and longer periods of chanting before that also. And of course, if one advances then, that would become easier and easier. So if one goes from nishta to ruchi to sakti, then gradually the attraction for the Lord increases. So therefore, there's no effort in chanting for longer periods of time.
Many years of service, so I finished 16 hours.
Well, that's there's different stages. So as I said, when you get to Ruchi and Asakti, then the taste develops more. In the lesser stages, Shraddha, Anartha, and Nirvritti, etc. But then it's obviously less, so one has to discipline at that stage. If one gets to Ruchi and Asakti, then it becomes more natural. What's that?
If we try to practice chanting at other times, then we use some other service. So definitely the problem of inattention would be.
Chanting, that is why generally the rounds that we count as our devotional service, we try to do those without doing other things. And of course we can chant other times also, then we can chant all the time, but generally we don't consider that as part of our vow.
So important it is to maintain this numerical strength which is mentioned here, the dangers of not maintaining it.
Well, that's part of Vaidhi Bhakti, that one maintains such a vow. Of course, even the Raghunuga that can also be there, where they may vow to chant 64 rounds a day or something, whatever, in Raghunuga or Sadhana or whatever. So the main purpose of that, of course, is that we maintain some sort of standard. The negative aspect, of course, is just to do the round because it's a number, that's all, and then that's it. So that's the negative aspect of doing such a thing. So therefore one has to be careful that it's not just a number, that's actually a sadhana of trying to increase one's devotion and attraction for the Lord.
Srila Sakur appeared even before Lord Chaitanya. He was chanting Hare Krishna Mantra. Was he chanting Hare Krishna Mantra?
He was associated with the Advaita Acharya long before that.
But he was already chanting Hare Krishna, isn't
he? Who?
Isara Puri.
It's not mentioned. He gave him mantra. He gave him a Krishna mantra. Not specifically Hare Krishna. So where Lord Chaitanya got Hare Krishna from is not really mentioned. Of course, you don't have to get it from anybody because it's not on the way. So you don't need to show that.
But he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to tell Hare Krishna.
Well, he told him that he gave him the Diksha Mantra, secret Diksha Mantra, the Krishna Mantra, and he told him I was chanting the name. So we assume it was Hare Krishna, but it could have been something else because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Hare Krishna is not even mentioned. It just says other things like Hari Bol and whatever. It doesn't say specifically Hare Krishna there at all. So we only see the Hare Krishna mentioned specifically in the Chaitanya Bhagavad.
Okay. Did you see the attempt to do this?